The wind in the Bridger-Teton National Forest has a way of carrying sounds that do not belong in the wilderness. It was mid-September when the silence of the Spread Creek dispersed camping area was finally broken by the crunch of boots on dry earth and the low hum of federal engines. This patch of Wyoming is beautiful, but indifferent to the lives that pass through it. We were looking for a needle in a haystack of pine needles and limestone dust. The coordinates had been narrowed down by a combination of digital breadcrumbs and the keen eyes of travelers who didn't realize what they had captured on their dash cams until it was too late. There was a specific heaviness in the air that afternoon. When you do this long enough, you learn to recognize the shift in the environment when a search transitions into a recovery. We moved through the sagebrush and the scattered trees with a methodical pace. Every broken branch and disturbed patch of soil was a potential piece of the puzzle. It was under the sparse shade of the trees near the creek bed where the earth finally gave up its secret. The remains were partially concealed by the natural growth of the forest floor. The site was immediately cordoned off to preserve the integrity of the scene. It was here that we finally confirmed the location of the young woman the entire country had been looking for, whose name was Gabrielle Petito. The investigation began long before we touched the soil in Wyoming. I spent weeks reviewing the chronological trail left by two people in a white Ford Transit van. They had set out from New York in early July with dreams of documenting a cross-country journey for a growing social media audience. To the outside world, the trip was a series of bright smiles and scenic vistas. Behind the scenes, the reality was far more volatile. I reviewed the body camera footage from a roadside stop in Moab, Utah, dated August 12th. The footage showed a young woman in tears and a man who remained remarkably calm while speaking to the officers. The report indicated a witness had seen the man hitting the woman in front of a local cooperative. We watched as the officers decided to separate the couple for the night rather than making an arrest. They were sent on their way the next morning. By late August, the digital trail began to go cold. The last confirmed sighting of the woman was at a restaurant in Jackson, Wyoming, on August 27th. Witnesses described a heated argument between the couple over a restaurant bill. Later that day, a strange text message was sent from her phone to her mother. The message mentioned a grandfather named Stan, but it was a name she never used in normal conversation. This was a significant red flag for the family. On September 1st, the man returned to his parents' home in Northport, Florida. He was driving the van alone. He did not call the police, and he did not call the family of his fiancée. He hired an attorney and remained silent. For 10 days, the family in New York pleaded for information that never came. We were working against a clock that had already run out. The evidence in this case was not just biological, but deeply digital. I sat in darkened rooms, reviewing hours of forensic data pulled from cell towers and social media servers. We analyzed the movement of the white van across the American West. A crucial piece of evidence came from a pair of travel vloggers who had been editing their own footage. They realized their camera had captured the white van parked in a remote area of the Bridger-Teton National Forest on the evening of August 27th. This narrowed our search grid significantly. When we recovered the body, the forensic evidence told a grim story. The autopsy conducted by the Teton County Coroner confirmed the cause of death was manual strangulation. The time of death was estimated to be 3 to 4 weeks prior to the discovery. This timeline matched the moment the digital trail vanished. While we processed the scene in Wyoming, a parallel investigation was unfolding in Florida. The man had disappeared from his home on September 13th, claiming he was going for a hike in the Carlton Reserve. We spent weeks scouring the swampy terrain of the Miocahatchee Creek Environmental Park. The conditions were brutal with rising water levels and thick vegetation. On October 20th, the man's parents led us to a location where his personal items were found. Nearby, we discovered skeletal remains. A dry bag was recovered from the scene, containing a wooden box and a notebook. This notebook became the most chilling piece of forensic evidence in the entire case. The ink was blurred by the environment, but the words were still legible. In those pages, the man admitted to the killing. He wrote a narrative, attempting to justify the act as a mercy killing. After a supposed accident, The forensic evidence at the crime scene in Wyoming did not support his version of events. There was no evidence of a traumatic accident. There was only the evidence of a violent struggle and a life taken by force. The finality of the case brought a cold sense of closure, but no real peace. The legal proceedings were complicated by the fact that the primary suspect was dead. On November 23rd, the medical examiner in Florida confirmed that the man had died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. The weapon was found near his remains. The FBI officially closed the investigation in early 2022, concluding that the man was the only person directly involved in the death. The notebook confession was released to the public, providing a glimpse into a mind that had spent its final hours trying to manage the narrative of a crime. Civil litigation followed, as the family of the victim sought accountability. They filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the estate of the man, and a separate suit against his parents. The family alleged that the parents knew of the murder and the location of the body, while the search was still active. In November 2022, a judge awarded the victim's family $3 million in the wrongful death suit. The legal battles continued into 2023 and 2024, as the family fought for changes in how domestic violence calls are handled by law enforcement. They successfully advocated for the passage of the Gabby Petito Act in Florida, which requires officers to use a lethality assessment when responding to domestic disputes. This legislation was designed to ensure that the warning signs missed in Moab would not be ignored in the future. The white van was eventually released from evidence, and the case file was archived. The thousands of pages of reports and digital logs stand as a permanent record of a journey that began with an idealized vision of freedom and ended in a remote creek bed. The physical evidence is stored in lockers, and the digital echoes remain on servers. But the reality of the loss is something that cannot be quantified by a forensic report. The investigation is over, and the facts are settled.